is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Restored by St. Pope Paul VI in 1967, the permanent diaconate has become one of the most significant developments in the modern church. Today, more than 20,000 permanent deacons serve in dioceses across the United States, ministering in parishes, hospitals, prisons, shelters, and countless places where the church meets the world. The Archdiocese of Baltimore holds a special connection to the restoration of the permanent diaconate. In 1971, six men were ordained as permanent deacons from the Archdiocese of Baltimore, among the first in the nation. They were ordained alongside candidates from the Archdiocese of Washington and the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia. And yet, even after more than 50 years, many Catholics still wonder about who deacons are and how they serve. Later in the program, we'll speak with an ordained deacon about his work in parish life, and we'll also meet a man currently in formation for the diaconate. But first, we're joined by Father Michael Fappiano, pastor of St. Mark in Falston and director of the diaconate for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Father Fappiano, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks for having me, George.
So to start off with the basics, what is a deacon? Could you describe what a deacon is?
Sure. Well, at the very basic level, a deacon is one of the orders of holy orders. So it is the orders of holy orders are deacon, priest, and bishop, and the deacons have their origin all the way back in the Acts of the Apostles. The first deacons were ordained by the apostles themselves.
You often hear this distinction between permanent deacon and transitional deacon. Could you explain what that's all about?
Sure. Well, there's actually only one diaconate in the church. There's one order. It's the order of deacons. But how that diaconate is lived out is different. So in order for a man to become a priest, he has to first be a deacon. So all priests have been ordained deacons. But there are some deacons who live out their diaconate in what we call the permanent state. So they will not be moving on to the priesthood. So that's the distinction we make between permanent deacons and transitional deacons. Transitional deacons will be moving on to the priesthood. Permanent deacons will live out their diaconate for the rest of their lives in that order.
Sometimes you hear deacons described as lay deacons, but that's really not accurate. They're ordained ministers. Is that right?
Yes, that is one of those rather unfortunate titles that came out in a lot of the confusion when the permanent diaconate was restored, like you were referring to before, in the 1970s here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. People didn't really understand what it was, so they kind of made up names, and lay deacon is one of them. Deacons are they are clerics. They are they have received the sacrament of holy orders, so they are not lay anymore. They are part of the clerical order.
And what sacraments can deacons celebrate?
Well, deacons can celebrate the sacrament of baptism. They can also witness weddings on behalf of the church. Those weddings usually are outside of a mass. If a wedding takes place in a mass, usually a priest is the one who is the witness. But deacons can witness weddings outside of mass. They assist at the Eucharist at the mass. And they also can perform the church's funeral rites. So wake services, committal services, funerals that happen outside the celebration of Mass, like in a funeral home, deacons can preside over those. So baptism and marriage and the rites around funerals are really the main areas where most deacons function.
And I know one of the main responsibilities is proclaiming the gospel and giving homilies.
Sure. So, yes, they have a role to play in the Mass itself. So, even though they are not celebrating the Mass, the priest is celebrating the Mass, the deacon has an integral role in the celebration of the Mass. So, they are the ones who proclaim the gospel at the Mass. They also prepare the altar for the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And then they are also what's called an ordinary minister of Holy Communion. So they distribute Holy Communion at Mass and also outside of Mass.
I was looking at some statistics about the diaconate, and I think I saw that more than 90% of permanent deacons are married. Could you talk about that? Why are permanent deacons permitted to be married?
So when the permanent diaconate was restored in the Western Church following the Second Vatican Council, it was permitted for the permanent deacons to be married. So they are clerics who are able to be married. And I think that the idea behind that was that the fathers of the Second Vatican Council were looking for a place where the church could meet the modern world. So the deacons are clerics, but they also live their lives as fathers, and they also are employed secularly. So they can bring the grace of their sacrament into the secular world. And I think that's the primary reason why permanent deacons are allowed to be married.
And deacons perform a wide range of services. Like right here in the Archdiocese, their ministry extends into hospitals and prisons and lots of different areas. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, so primarily deacons are meant to be ministers of charity. So when you look at the Acts of the apostles ordained the first deacons so that they could take care of the community. Specifically, it was some of the widows who were being felt that they were being ignored in the community. The deacons were chosen to, as the Acts of the Apostles says, to tend to the table in the community. So that has been exercised in the history of the church as a ministry of charity. So frequently, our deacons will have a liturgical ministry that they do in a parish, but then they're also involved in many charitable ministries. So we have deacons who are prison chaplains, hospital chaplains. We have deacons who run outreach to soup kitchens and homeless shelters and all of those sorts of ministries. So that's another way that they are bringing the gospel to the world, to people who need it as ministers of charity.
Who is eligible to be a deacon?
Well, in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, we have various guidelines around who's eligible to be a deacon. So obviously, you have to be a man. The diaconate is limited to men because of the Acts of the Apostles, because of the apostles' choice of 12 reputable men, excuse me, 7 reputable men to become the first deacons. In the Code of Canon Law says you have to be at least 35 years old in order to be ordained a deacon. So 35 is the bottom of the age range. And in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, you can't be older than 60 at the time of your ordination. So you had to be between the ages of 35 and basically 55 to begin formation. Obviously, we're looking for faith-filled men who are involved in their parish communities, who participate in the life of the church, and are seen in their parish as leaders in their parish.
What is the formation process like, both theological training and pastoral training?
So the first part of the formation is what's called an aspirancy period. That comes from aspire, someone who is aspiring to become a deacon. That is a 2-year process where the men come together to learn about the basics of Christian discipleship, what it means to follow the Lord Jesus, how to pray, how to be of service in the community. The very basics and fundamentals of both Christianity and also the diaconate. And then after that period of aspirancy, they move on to what's called candidacy. And that happens over a 3-year period. And that's the time of theological education. So they come together. It's basically every other Saturday from September to May for classes at St. Mary's Seminary that cover a wide range of theological topics, from the history of the church to Christology to ecclesiology, soteriology, all of the ologies that are part of theology are covered in those sessions. And then while that period of candidacy is going on, the men also have 1 year they have an institutional assignment. So they're assigned to an institution in the archdiocese, a hospital, a shelter, a nursing home, places like that, where they minister to the people there. And then another year they have a parish assignment. So they're assigned to a parish where they minister in their parish. And that looks different depending on the parish. For often the men are involved in the Order of Christian Initiation of Adults, OCIA. They're involved in sacramental formation, religious education, all kinds of different areas of parish ministry during that year. So all of that is 5 years. During that time, there's various evaluations that happen over the time, both on the man's part, whether things are going well, and also on the archdiocese part, whether things are progressing along. And then also their wives are very much involved in that process. So the men who are married, their wives come with them on the 2 years of aspirancy. And then it's optional in those 3 years of candidacy for the wives to come to the seminary sessions. And all along the way, the man's wife has to consent for the process to continue. So the wife's consent needs to be there for him to begin, for him to continue, and then eventually even for him to be ordained.
How many men are in formation now for the permanent diaconate?
Currently, there are 24 men in formation for the permanent diaconate in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. There's a class that will be ordained in May of 2026. There's 14 men in that class, and then there's 10 men in the class of 2028.
Okay. And if someone feels called to the diaconate, is there a website he could visit, or do you have a contact for him to get more information?
Sure. Right now, we're in the process of having information sessions for those who may be interested in beginning the aspirancy period. There's two more of those sessions remaining. One is on Wednesday, January 14th at 7 p.m. here at St. Mark in Falston. And then there was one on Wednesday, February 4th at St. Mary's in Hagerstown. And for more information, they can visit the Archdiocese website, archbalt.org/clergy, or they can feel free to send me an email. And my email address is M Fapiano, my last name, at archbalt.org.
Great. Well, Father Fabiano, thanks again so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks for having me, George.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about the diaconate. I'm George Matisek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbalt.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Today we're talking about the diaconate, and in this segment we welcome Darren Woodis and Deacon Tim Maloney. Darren is the Pastoral Associate and Director of Parish Operations at Holy Family in Randallstown, and he's currently in formation to be ordained a deacon in May. Deacon Tim Maloney has been a deacon since 2009. He serves as a theology teacher at Archbishop Curley High School in Baltimore, and is assigned to St. Joseph in Fullerton. He also works in Catholic Scouting. Deacon Tim is a former pastoral administrator of St. Thomas Aquinas in Hamden. So Darren and Deacon Tim, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for having me.
So Darren, let's start with you. You grew up at St. Cecilia Parish in West Baltimore, and you're now at New All Saints following the changes in parishes with the Seek the City to Come pastoral planning initiative.
Yes.
How did you learn about the diaconate? What attracted you to the ministry, and why did you want to be a deacon?
Well, it's been a 20 plus year discernment process. So many years ago, when I was asked to help our altar guild at St. Cecilia's with some of the ladies in the parish, I grew a greater and greater interest in what happens at the altar, what happens in the sanctuary. And those ladies pulled me in to do a whole lot of things with them. And I began to ask questions. I began to ask questions about, you know, parts of the Mass. I began to ask questions about, you know, what is this item called and what is this item called? And my learning just started there. And then our pastor, you know, took me out to lunch one day. And we had a conversation about a whole lot of things, and none of those subjects was about church. And that's really how I got pulled in. And then I just looked to be involved in serving at the altar as an altar server, working in a parish as a sacristan, and I just wanted to be able to do more. But it took almost 20 years for me to discern and say, you know what, the diaconate is something I am interested in. And I knew it was a giant leap and a change in life, but it's difficult to give up certain things in order to do additional things. And it just took time for me. And now I'm here and I'm happy I made that choice.
Can you tell us about your academic training at the seminary? You're at St. Mary's Seminary in Roland Park. What kinds of academic experience do you have? And then what kind of pastoral experience?
So I have my master's degree in church ministry. It's now called Christian ministry, which was a journey in itself. I never thought that I would go back to school and get a master's degree. But because I was learning so much about the faith, I just wanted to understand more. There was an opportunity that I could take classes and learn more about not just our Catholic faith, but about the Bible in general, about Greek as it relates to the Bible, about our church in general, about religion around the world in general. And that kind of sparked me again to say, you know what, I like to take this journey to the diaconate. Formation from an academic perspective, intellectual perspective, is not always easy. It takes effort and energy. And there's so much to learn about the church, but it's all gratifying. That leads to being able to serve better from a pastoral perspective. Knowing and understanding the church helps lead and guide others. So in the role as a deacon or a priest or anyone who does a homily, or even a sermon in our Protestant world, you have to understand what the Bible is telling us. And we know that the Bible is interpreted different ways by different folks, but it has a message there that needs to be extended out to all, particularly those who don't have an understanding of who Jesus Christ is and who the Father is.
Deacon Tim, you've been a deacon for many years now. What have been some of the highlights for you of your ministry?
I think it's just working with the people. It's just being there with the people and journeying with them in their faith. When I was at St. Joe Fullerton years ago, I was actually originally hired as the director of faith formation while I was still the deacon at St. Stephen. So it's kind of neat now to have the kids I had as religious education students now reaching out to me, hey, can you do my wedding? And I don't know if that makes me old now or what, but it's really neat to be with families. I've had weddings that I've had when I was newly ordained that I'm now being asked to do their child's baptisms and be part of their faith life afterwards. So it's really neat in this ministry to grow with families and be part of their faith journey through the sacraments. And when they need you at times of their life, they feel comfortable calling out and saying, hey, can we talk about, we have a family member who's dying or sick. So it's just really cool to be part of their life.
What do you find is the response to the diaconate among parishioners? Do they understand what it is? I mean, it's been 50 years since it was restored, but there's still a little bit of questioning, I think, about it. What's been your experience there?
I have been very lucky in the fact that the parishes I've been assigned to have already had deacons. there was already two deacons at St. Stephen's when I was newly ordained. We've always seemed to have someone from deacon formation serving in the parish. St. Joseph had deacons. The function of a deacon was a little bit of a challenge when I first got to St. Thomas Aquinas, because they had a deacon who functions just like all of our deacons do in the diocese, proclaiming the word, celebrating the sacraments. They never really had someone who was functioning in the deacon role as their pastoral administrator. So they were taken aback by that. But when you just simply reminded them that we're here to serve you just as well as our priests do, we don't fulfill the sacraments with the mass and confession, but we're here to pray with you and guide you and be there for you, they welcomed me with open arms. Nowadays, I think everyone knows the diaconate, they understand what our role is and who we are. They realize that we are family men and they can come to us for pretty much anything. We've had the same experiences that they've had. It's been warm and welcoming, everything.
Now, both of you, Deacon Tim and Darren, are both married and you have families. Darren, you have four children with your wife, and Deacon Tim, you have two. Could you talk about the role of family in the diaconate, especially your wife? I know you need the support of your wives to do your ministry. Could you talk about that? Maybe start with Darren.
Yes, for me right now, going into ordination, is that my wife holds all the keys. She gets to say nay or yay, but it requires the support of your spouse, because it takes time to go through this discernment process, which means it takes time away from the family. So she picks up a lot of the things that I can't do because I'm away at formation or I'm serving somewhere. I have my internship or things of that nature. But I think her support is key, not just from the sense of picking up things, but from a perspective of walking with me. She's the one who encourages me when I may get down about having to write a paper or having to give a reflection or something like that. She's the one that picks me up and says that, well, you can do this. And they are our best critics. If I want to, envision how something goes, I'll run it past her first. And she might say, you know what, that may not work. Or yes, that will work. So she sees it from a different perspective, which helps me get it right.
How about for you, Deacon Tim?
I'll have to echo that one. I mean, when I first got ordained, I ran every homily through my wife, and then she would come to mass and go, "I already heard that." I'm like, "Well, you're gonna hear it again." But I have to echo that too with Darren. Is my wife always says that she was. It's almost another little sub vocation to be a wife of a deacon. It's its own blessing and has its own entity. They don't share necessarily in our responsibilities, but they are there to give us our feedback, to help with family things. My wife used to do baptism prep with me at St. Stephen. She's always there as a greater supporter, and my family has always been with me. I've been ordained 16 years. My son's 21, my daughter's 18. So my daughter was born during my formation period. So they have only known me pretty much for their life as a deacon, and they were right there with religious education classes, confirmation classes with me. I'll never forget the day I was ordained, and our calendar still says it. I mean, 16 years later, on May 23rd, each year it says Deacon Dad Day. So my kids called me Deacon Dad from moment on. But yeah, my family's been there through all of the support. I was very lucky to be involved in scouting with my son and got to be their chaplain, go on trips with them, help out with soccer, and be there still as a dad, but also as a minister of the parish. They used to jokingly say, we have God on our side, so how can we lose? We got the deacon helping the coach and things like that. So your family is right there supporting you. You can't do it without them. But having young kids and being able to be a part of their faith journey as not necessarily their dad, but also their deacon. I got to be on the altar for my son's first Holy Communion. I went from confirmations at St. Joseph to my son's very first his first communion. I was on the altar for my daughter's first communion. Now I was on the altar for both of their confirmations. It was just kind of really neat. I was very fortunate. I was ordained at just under 35. And got to be there through their whole faith journey. So it was really, really cool.
We have about 30 seconds left. Could you each just very quickly have any advice for a person considering the diaconate, a man that's interested in the ministry?
If you're interested in the ministry, you have to take the first step towards the ministry. It's just like anything else we do in life. If you want to be healthier and exercise, you have to take a step and go into the gym. You have to take that step. Don't just continuously think about it and talk about it, but do something. Take a step towards it. Have a conversation with a priest. Have a conversation with another deacon. Go to an information session. Have those conversations with folks who've been through the process And that way you can make a better decision about what's the next step for you. But you have to take the first step.
And I totally agree. You have to take the first step. You have to reach out. I had so many people in my life when I was discerning, like, oh, you should be a deacon. You should be a deacon. And I was like, nah, no, no. I'm too young. When I was going through formation, all of our deacons were older when they entered formation. So I was like, no, no, no. But then finally I approached the deacon who was our deacon intern at the time. And I was like, hey, Marty, let's talk about this deacon thing. What do we got to do? And within a week, I was having a conversation with Patrick, Father Patrick Kerrion, who was the director of deacon formation at the time. And I was filling out my application. And next thing you know, I'm in aspirancy, getting ready to be starting my formation period. But it wasn't until I actually asked. You're going to hear a lot of you should, you should, you should. But until you accept that call, and I can tell you right here, that was probably the best night's sleep I had in 10 years.
Like a weight off your shoulders.
Exactly.
Well, our guests today have been Darren Woodis and Deacon Tim Maloney. Deacon Tim and Darren, thanks so much again for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you. It's been great.
Thank you for having me.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.